Welcome, everybody, to episode 192 of Live at the Hive, Digital Marketing from the Trenches. I'm your host, Dan Nadelko.
I'm Stacey DeSantis, and we've officially lost our minds.
And I'm Paige Gervais, and I just have a normal, boring voice.
Yeah. So as you can see, this week we've updated some of our production quality to integrate a cool tool called VoiceMod. So it's, yeah, let's see here. That's good. Yeah, that was the wrong one. Let's try that one. There we go. Very nice. So welcome everybody to episode 192 of Live at the Hive Digital Marketing from the Trenches. And today we are going to be talking about how to go from, it's kind of cheesy, but zero to hero on Instagram. And however you define a hero, you can be a small town hero, you can be Superman. So we're going to talk all about how to optimize your Instagram profile, how to use the platform, some of the new tools that can really help you get discoverability, some of the things you can do to get into the Discover tab and to build your community. Whew, that was a mouthful. But first, just hands. But first, as always, we are going to be talking about what is new. No, wait, that was the wrong sound. Am I overdoing it with the sound effects? I don't know.
I'm digging it.
You got to have fun with it. You got to have one. And before we get started, for anybody that's watching on the video, I also have now a studio cam so you can see. Hello. Hello, everybody. So you can see what's going on in my little home studio. And there we go.
I have a stair climber.
You got that organic look. So Pip is saying, more sound effects, please. All of them. I've got a lot. I think I caught April off guard a little bit, but that's good. And welcome, Brandy. Yes, we're a little fancy over here. My wife calls it Best Buy down here because I have like six of everything. Yeah. So it is what it is. All right, so let's dive right into what's new. So YouTube publishing a new guide to rising aesthetic trends and how to understand niche interests. Does anyone want to talk to this one?
Yeah, yeah. So there's a lot of, sorry, Paige, you want to
go? No, go ahead.
Oh, okay. So there are a lot of new kind of aesthetic trends like cottagecore, dark academia. There was one even called Bracore, which I guess is like Dungeon and Dragons-ish type thing, and even Y2K. So YouTube essentially has come up with an aesthetics report showing the popularity and how audiences are really gravitating towards these aesthetic trends. And it's an attempt, I think, to help brands understand maybe how they can leverage it or align what they're trying to sell to consumers with these trends. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, we talk a lot about this and we're kind of living this right now, is you need more and more insights to get into the minds of your audience so you can properly target them. And that's an extremely important part of the process is using, Google's got quite a few tools actually in the marketing cloud where you can get insights and build audiences. And this is just a really nice upgrade to all of that.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's move right along. We got a lot to chew on this week. A lot of big Twitter updates as well. So let me do something here. Oops. Okay. Sorry, folks. There we go. So Twitter's announcing a whole bunch of DM improvements, multi-DM sharing, updated navigation. So let's see here. So yeah, I think that this is really interesting because we've got quite a few Twitter announcements today. Twitter's kind of hot and heavy. I really feel like Twitter's doubling down on the DM and messaging side of things to really compete head-to-head with Messenger and to differentiate itself from, I think, the rest of the popular social media platforms.
Yeah, this tool specifically, I think, is going to really help marketers or even businesses for that matter, if they have an announcement or they have a select group maybe of influencers that they interact with on Twitter. They can let them know about product announcements all in one DM, and they won't have to like individually message each one. It mm-hmm. even puts more weight onto why you should develop Twitter lists, because then you could easily say, okay, well, I know this list is really interested in an upcoming, product announcement, and you can send one message to all of them at the same time. So mm-hmm. kind of interesting.
Yeah, it'll be
It'll be really interesting to see how many people try to take advantage of this being evil marketers.
I was like, are my AirPods dying or something?
You have a water sound? So, you should have used that when we were going to dive in.
Stacy, you can just... Oh.
Hey.
Let it go, Stacy.
Oh
let God. The stress of the week release. Let it all flow away. It's Friday afternoon.
Okay.
Okay. So the interesting thing here about, oh, geez, my soundboard's going crazy. Okay. Okay, wind chimes. You've had your time. Go away. It won't stop. It won't stop.
Uh-oh. There,
stop. I got it. So the thing to watch out for is this may be a tool to spam. There's a 20-person mm-hmm. limit. And I think you could do some really good things with mastermind groups or VIP programs for your customers, or smaller VIP programs to keep things, just stay connected. It's another channel. Okay. Everybody thought their sounds went off. Okay. So moving right along again with Twitter. Twitter's all over the place this week. They've been, like I said, they've been releasing a lot of new updates. New topic tags to spaces to improve discovery. So yeah.
They're kind of ahead of Clubhouse. They're ahead of Clubhouse with this, because they didn't have that restriction where at first Clubhouse you had to be invited to join the platform, and Twitter mm-hmm. Spaces have just been open, and they were finding that a lot of people were finding it really difficult to follow or find the chat rooms that they actually wanted to kind of participate in. So they're making it easier.
Yep.
Yeah. And there's like a dedicated tab and a highlight tool now, right? I think I read for mm-hmm. to improve the spaces discovery, which I think is really cool.
Yeah. And I think one of the things that's really important to take into account is the fact that TikTok has made discoverability popular again, where I think the, mm-hmm. Organic discoverability popular again, mainly because Facebook has been just clamping down on it so hard. And I think they're being forced, their hand is being forced, and Twitter's hand is being forced as well into having to adapt and really put discoverability at the top of their priority lists, which is good. It's good. And that's what competition is great for, right?
For sure. Yeah, and now Clubhouse has to kind of play catch up with that, because with them removing that restriction on invite only to the platform, they're finding that so many people are coming there right now. Mm-hmm. There's so many different chats being generated. People are mm-hmm. getting frustrated because they can't find valuable content. They're just finding
It's just like too crowded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Clubhouse is a bit messy, and I honestly I'm of the opinion that Clubhouse is more of a feature rather than an app, but hey, who knows where that'll land.
Yeah. Exactly.
All right. So moving right along to our good old friends, Snapchat, new tool Trends, which allows users to look up keywords and their usage on Snapchat. So let's see if I can get that. Oh, that was not what I intended to have happen. Let's go back. Okay. So again, I think it's an interesting category trends. So you can see, again, I think this leads to a similar thing to what we saw with YouTube, giving people the data and the information and the trends. You can see how the particular keywords are going to be used by various Snapchat users. Again, same kind of theme, right? Understanding what's trending, understanding you know, your audience and what's happening can certainly make a big difference in how you operate on those social networks, whether it's personally or you're a creator or you are a brand or business.
So they're doing a graph too. So the keyword will be graded from 1 to 100, which I also think is really cool. Just kind of display the keyword popularity as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And just an interesting stat here is 48% of all U.S. internet users between 15 and 25 use Snapchat.
That's a lot.
So it's a lot. It's I think it's often Snapchat is often dismissed because people may not use it nearly as much. But in certain categories, it is a thundering giant. Absolutely. Okay.
It's so kind of been trend centers for other apps too. Really. Mm-hmm. Like.
Yep.
You know, especially with how TikTok has evolved, right? It kind of was happening on Snapchat first. And then.
Yeah. And I remember like when Snapchat came out with their stories feature and then Instagram came out with theirs and nobody really uses Snapchat stories now because Instagram stories are so much better. Maybe that's just personal opinion, but no one posts stories anymore on Snapchat.
Yeah, I think it depends on the demographic. You might be just outside of that demo. Because I do think, you know, I know there are creators there with shows that are monetizing like crazy to a much younger audience. I think it's one of these things where you understand that if you have that audience and where they are, that's where you need to be, right? Like you can't, we can't dictate as marketers or creators where we should be going. Right? Where your customers should be going or your community would be going. So, all righty. Last, but definitely not least, YouTube adding video chapter listings in search, which could be a new SEO consideration. So this is a really interesting one and close to my heart because I love SEO. I think it's great. It's fun. So this is what it's going to look like here. Now, this is interesting and important because, the chapters have been searchable on YouTube for a very long time, but you can now clip. And if you chapterize like we do with this on our YouTube channel, it's a couple of things for your users. Number one, it's incredibly easy to find content within a larger form piece of content. And, you know, how-to videos, I just cringe when I have to try to scan for 5 minutes before getting to the actual thing I need, you know?
Yeah.
But this is going to pull it right into Google search, and you can see these are the mobile views. So there's a really good example here, like tip one, tip two, tip three, tip four. And you can get a really great SEO advantage for very competitive terms because obviously a YouTube video is going to rank against website domains very well, right? So it's kind of a David and Goliath tactic.
Yeah, I just think it's fantastic. You know, that it's almost like they're making it official, like by implementing this kind of layout with it, you know? And I just think it's going to make those that maybe aren't as savvy with YouTube as yourself, Dan, be able to find the content that they're looking for a lot more easily. Like yourself, I don't like going to a how-to video and then you have like a 10-minute or 5-minute intro from the creator. It's like, yeah. You know, not to quote Seinfeld, but it's like, yada, yada, yada. Okay, let's get on with it kind of thing, right?
So. Yeah, for sure. And I think the other thing is, this is another interesting. So YouTube has been releasing feature after feature after feature as well. They've got massive revenue gains and they've got massive engagement because YouTube really spans all forms of video from long form documentary style content on their platform to YouTube movies, for example, but they also have now YouTube Shorts, which are incredibly popular, and they've integrated this concept of short form content and very digestible, very snackable content across the board, even allowing you to take your long form content and effectively chapterize it, chop it up into short form content so your users can get in and out quickly. This is a really powerful addition to the arsenal. So you should be thinking about that for all of your content.
Just remember to be authentic with it because Google, they're going to know whether or not you're like saying, oh, this is about, I don't know, black cat. You're going to Dan's demon voice. This is about a black cat when really it's not about cats at all. right? Yeah. If you just think that you're ranking for a word, you know, you can't like, it's almost like a different version of like keyword stuffing. You can't be fake about it.
I would never advocate any kind of black hat techniques for SEO or for YouTube. Stay white hat, kids. Stay white hat.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, don't, you know what? Black hat techniques are just dumb. And don't do them because the platforms are so mature now. They're going to find out. You're going to suffer a whole bunch of pain. So here we are. The main events. The main event.
Right, Stacey, your face, you were just like, oh my God. Like staring right into the camera, right at my soul.
Okay, let's go. Let's see here. Instagram fundamentals. So we're going to have fun with fundamentals. All right. Paige, this is kind of near and dear to your heart. I know you spent a bunch of time on this, and you're a big you're a big Instagram user as well, right?
Yeah. So Instagram fundamentals from zero to hero. Not all heroes wear capes. Some of them just have Instagram accounts. So we're just going to talk about optimizing your profile for business, warming up your account, and utilizing all the features that are available to you. A lot of people might think that Instagram is just about posting, shutting the app and just leaving your phone on the table. There's a lot more to it. So we're gonna kind of break down all of these steps and how you can get the best engagement on each of your posts.
That's awesome. And Yvonne saying everyone is matching in black. Love that. That was completely unintentional, but you're right. It does work.
We just vibe so well. We don't even have to.
There you go. There you go. All right. So yeah, there's a lot to kind of unpack in this, but there's some real key takeaways that hopefully you're going to be able to implement with your Instagram account sooner rather than later. So, all right. So let's walk us through. Stacey, you do this all the time?
I do. So the first thing you want to do is optimize your account for business. So switch it to a business account. First of all, a lot of people will make the mistake of keeping their account as a personal account, and you actually want to switch it to a business account. This is going to allow you to have access to insights and key data points, so that way you can actually see how your account is performing. You also want to update your profile image, make sure it's consistent with your branding, and then also make sure that you're updating your bio. Include a few hashtags that are relevant to your brand. The link that is part of your profile, you want to update that. We like to recommend using something like a link tree or a link in profile, so that way you can actually make sure that you have more than one link available to those that are interested, whether it's to your website, your Shopify e-commerce page, or a recent blog article. That way they can one-stop shop on one link. And you also want to make sure that you're updating your address information, your contact information, so it's all current. Because this is the way someone is going to find you, and it's also the way what their first impression of your account is going to be if they just go to your account directly. And that's a really good example you have there, Dan, of what
we're
for Honeypot.
Yeah. So you can do one of the important things here. If you're not tech savvy, or you're unable to create pages like this, ideally you would do this on your own website, because if you go to Linktree, you're just giving them a click and a forward probably somewhere else. But this is your traffic, so you'll be able to measure it on your own domain. This is pretty easy to set up with various flavors of WordPress or whatever CMS you're using. But if all else fails, like Stacey said, feel free to hit up a Linktree. If you're not technical, it's not a bad thing, but ideally you would have this.
Yeah.
Okay.
100%.
Yes. And definitely the business profile is required to attach your Instagram account to Facebook Business Manager, which we will not be talking about today because it's a monster. but if you don't do that, you're going to miss out on just a ton of features and audience creation and all that fun stuff.
Yeah. Okay. So if you're asking yourself, do I really need to do that? Yes.
There's your answer. Okay, cool. Swarming up the account. Yeah. Who wants to cover this one?
Well, Stacy, yeah, Stacy was talking about this in our huddle yesterday. So warming up your account, Stacy mentioned she goes online every day and just kind of go through your feed, there's various feeds. You can go through your reels, just post, like and comment on various posts and really engage with the community. So you're giving other accounts that reach and that engagement, kind of just warming up your posting day, if you want to call it that. And yeah, just kind of explore, use the explore tab and whatnot. Just kind of familiarize yourself with the app before you just dive right in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, go ahead, Dan.
I was going to say that, you know, a lot of social media managers will create a posting content schedule and just run it, but never actually log into the account. And you will be suppressed if you do that. You've got to be on the app natively, running engagement style campaigns. And another tip we're going to talk about in the hashtags is it's really important. It's one way for you to grow your account is to interact with others, comment on it, join their conversation. Don't be overly promotional. Try to solve problems for people that are in your niche and in your circle and community. And we're going to talk about that under collabs as well. But go and use these features. Like, get in there and use those features on a regular basis. Cool. Moving right along. All right, Stacy, this one's all you.
Oh, I was going to say, don't just engage on other people's posts, because if you have customers or just public who are commenting on your post and you're not answering them, that sends a really negative. It's not good. People don't like that. If there's no customer service, it's not good.
Yeah. And April's saying warming your account works. The platform rewards users natively for interacting with their platform. Nice thing is it doesn't take much time. It doesn't. And, you know, you can just devote, two or three times a day for 5 or 10 minutes. It doesn't take that long to keep your account nice and toasty.
Exactly.
Okay. Cool. Let's talk content plans.
Okay, so we've talked about it a lot, but there's a reason we do customer personas and we do customer journey mapping and we understand what our content pillars are. We don't need to get in that too much. Everyone can check out a prior episode where we've really dived deep into all these topics. But the idea is to really understand what your content pillars are and then arrange your feed accordingly. So Paige used this example when we were huddling yesterday about how she likes to color code different types of content themes. So whether you have, like, let's say it's an FAQ series, let's say it's an ad for your store, let's say it's, a quote, or it's something humorous that you're going to be posting, you definitely don't want to post the same theme day in and day out. You want to vary the content so that way you're giving your audience a variety of different themes and content pillars so that you're providing actual value to your user. Now, you can, a lot of people get caught up on how the actual, feed looks. That's one part of it, but really you want to always be, providing value for your audience. So if you understand what those pillars are, you can make sure that you create a content plan that works, that addresses all of those pillars in a nice layout, really, in a nice format.
Yeah, for sure. And I think a couple of things you want to do, and we've talked about this on several of our lives about content, is using content pillars that you really put thought into as a pillar, and that can help to guide you. And I think that's where Paige, that's what you're talking about, is being able to color code so you know which one of your pillars, and you can visually see if you've spread your content around properly and enough. And that's going to help, social media content creation and specifically even on Instagram can be overwhelming because it just doesn't stop, right? Yeah. It's just like this never-ending flow. So definitely, keep that in mind, top of mind. Okay, now let's talk about...
It's like laundry, it never ends, but you got to keep it interesting.
But don't just like write your caption like the minute before you're going to post. Like here at Honeypot, there's just so many content calendars and it gets sent to different teams and we all have a little play in that one little post. There's so many people behind it. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. Okay, so moving right along, let's talk a little bit about the right times to post.
Okay, so a lot of people think that just because you have a high follower count, you're going to be successful on Instagram, which is totally not the case. So you want to schedule your posts around when your followers have highest engagement. So understanding when your users are the most active is how you're going to be successful. So each business will have these micro moments, and it depends on your industry. So we were talking about examples yesterday, but a law firm might have a different posting schedule than a florist would.
Yeah.
It's just all about understanding your own audience. And over time, this might change and you might have to switch up your strategies and you'll live and you'll learn. But yeah, you're really aiming for the engagement.
That's exactly right. And there's various tools that you can use. One of the tools that we use is called IconoSquare. It is a paid service. And we're gonna actually look at some examples of actual Instagram accounts. And what it can do is IconoSquare can actually show you when you're getting the highest amounts of engagement. So you can run a test. You can see how your engagement is working, and then you can double down on that from a time-based perspective. And never be too married to that, because that can change drastically.
Yeah, exactly. You always want to be testing and optimizing as you go along, right? Because you might have an account where maybe you're selling breakfast smoothies. Well, you're probably not going to want to try to reach people at, 9 o'clock on a Saturday night with that post. But, Monday at 5:30 in the morning, you might want to consider that time, right? You just really need to understand who your users are, when they would naturally take breaks or micro moments throughout their day to check social media, and then align your content strategy with that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Here, I'll throw up one of our projects here. So you can see. So just on the timing thing here, this is the best time to post an engagement. So you can see that it is pretty clear where the best times are, right? And you get that just by pulling back on certain analytics. But, use analytics to your benefit. Keep an eye on it. Don't just, unfortunately, Instagram has absolutely horrendous analytics. So it really does require that you use a third party tool to help you through that. Okay. Now let's talk about this one. This is a biggie. Hashtags are super important. they drive a lot of what makes your content discoverable. And Stacey, I know you have some thoughts on this and some tips for the peoples.
Yeah, a lot of people think that you don't really need to add or use hashtags. Well, especially on Instagram, that's how you're going to get your reach in a lot of ways. But a lot of times people will just put out the most popular hashtags they can think of to align with their post or within their post copy. And that, if I can give you an analogy, that's like going to a party with a million people and you're like, hello, I'm here. Nobody's going to hear you, right? You really want to find rather a mix of hashtags. So you want to use some popular ones. You want to use some very specific hashtags, which we would call that a low reach, but it would be very specific. So let's say we had dog, that would be popular. Let's say we had a low one would be how to wash your dog in a bathtub. I'm looking at my dog while I'm saying this. And then maybe the middle one is like dog bath. In the middle is popular, but and not too niche, but kind of middle of the road. And by having this mix of hashtags, you're actually setting your posts up for success because it's going to reach those that are uber interested in what your content is, those that you may have never heard of you before, and those that are interested but may also not have heard of you before either. So kind of, we always try to aim for a nice mix between the three.
Yeah. And I would strongly suggest, especially smaller accounts, you'll often see marketers wanting to create their own hashtag, a hashtag based on their company or their campaign. Unless you're going to be, you know, really putting some resources behind it, it's not going to do much. You're going to be screaming into the Grand Canyon. I would find other trending hashtags that are reasonably sized to take advantage of, as opposed to trying to create one on your own, right?
Yeah. And also, you can have a defined list of hashtags that work for you. It doesn't have to be the same hashtags on every post, but you just keep a little list. This is what I do. I just keep a little list in my notes app, and you can have a set list of hashtags for your quote posts, your product posts, your employee of the month posts, whatever you're going to do. And you can kind of, you can change those hashtags, but you can have just a set list, and it'll save time and energy.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay.
Another thing that you can do too, to understand what hashtags, is to line it with your keywords for your brand. So if you are doing that work in SEMrush and you know that you really want to start to like rank for a certain keyword, maybe use an offset of that in your hashtag list to really help you get that that particular audience that you're really striving to get.
Yep. Sounds good. All right. Up next. And there's also, just as another point, there are several hashtag analysis tools that you can track hashtags. There's TalkWalker. Later has a free tool for that. I believe IconoSquare also has one as well for Insta. So you should be using those to really understand what niches are. And another thing to do as well, talking about warming the account, if you're, especially those, you know, mid-tier ones, if there's, you know, 10,000, 20,000 posts on a hashtag, go to your Discover feed for that hashtag, find other people with those posts, and then interact with them on their content. Okay, that's a really good way. Because again, if you do something like InstaGood, which is one of the top hashtags, it's where there's like 2.8 billion posts on it. That's a pretty competitive area of Instagram, right? So you want to go for those smaller niches where you can stand out. And again, you can get that engagement. Here's a comment from April that's true. Some people think hashtags are unsightly and may ruin the aesthetics of a post. But hashtags are extremely important for people to find your content. Hashtags, how you are mostly discovered. Yeah, it's you know, it started out as a cheat with Twitter, and it has become the underpinning for, you know, Twitter, for Instagram, for TikTok, that they use in those Discover pages or your For You pages as well.
And let's be honest, Instagram is a visual platform, and I know we're going to get into that a bit now, but not a lot of people are looking at the copy, my friends. They're looking at, it's becoming more of a video clip, you know, get a quick piece of information, have a compelling photo that, you know, will stop me in my tracks when I'm looking through my feed. Like, people aren't too caught up in that. It's pretty standard now to have those hashtags there. So I wouldn't worry about it affecting your aesthetic.
It's really cool too, because, I follow hashtags. So on my feed, I follow like photographer hashtags and whatnot. So the hashtag will just kind of come up on my feed with a random person's post, and then I'll discover their profile and I'll start following them. So because they use that hashtag, they gain me as a follower. I've engaged with their post and whatnot.
Yeah, for sure. And that's engaging. So, you know, you're a good model of typical Instagram users. And it's funny because I think a lot of businesses, and business owners, well, I wouldn't say a lot, but we run into a lot who have never used Instagram, right? So there's a very little understanding of the platform. And the reality of Instagram is that it is a series of tribes and of niches that people follow. So my Instagram will be nothing like Paige's Instagram, right? Because she's defined that, you know, she's into design and photography and everything else, right? We might actually have some in common because photography is a big passion of mine. But yeah, you really want to be able to appeal to those niches that way. So this one, this is kind of a cheesy thing people say, create engaging content. we're going to talk about some of those rather than just be vague, like what is engaging content, but it depends on your audience to what engages them. And one of the things I wanted to talk about here on at this portion of it is the idea that a lot of people think you're creating content for the algorithm, okay? But the algorithm is designed to produce engaging content to keep people on the platform. So you've got to design, like it sounds really basic and it sounds kind of obvious, which it is you're, it's the same thing as search engine optimization, right? People say, let's get some SEO content out there. Well, what the hell does that mean? Mm-hmm. You mean content that people are searching for? Oh, okay. Like valuable, high quality content. Yeah. Okay. Let's do that. Right. But there's this mistake that people make in thinking, I'm trying to get the algorithm to recognize me, and you're not. You're trying to get people to be interested in what you're creating, right? So,
it's like the field of dreams. You know that they will come. Sorry. I'm just thinking back to the baseball game last week. It goes back to the content pillars and all the pieces we were talking about earlier, where you need to be adding value to that person's day. If you do that, people will want to engage. They will want to participate. Mm-hmm. You have to think along those lines versus, okay, well, what does Instagram want me to know? Mm-hmm. Like, what does your user need, right?
And here's a super simple way to understand, like, how can I create engaging content on Instagram? Tell your story. If you're a business owner, tell your story. Do a 2-minute video every day. Do a 1-minute video every day. What's going on? What are you working on? Show behind the scenes. Show your journey. Show your customers. Create that engaging story. And I think we did talk about this, like your superhero origin story, right? Tell that story and your customers, and if you've got value to provide to those people, that's going to be your engaging content. Okay.
Exactly.
All right.
I'm Wonder Woman. I have an invisible plane. No?
Okay. No. Sorry about that. Just joking, Stacey. Just joking. That was a joke that fell flat.
Yeah.
Hold on, I got a decent.
We need the dirt.
Hey, they all can't be winners. Utilizing new features. This is really, really important. Couldn't stress it more. Here's something that I ran across the other day. TikTok is becoming like Instagram. Instagram is becoming like TikTok. What is it? And YouTube, I can't remember what the YouTube one was, but it's true. And you can see from our talk on Twitter as well, how many features all of these platforms are starting to launch, right? It was becoming very competitive. And with Instagram, Reels are your number one weapon in that arsenal. They're giving it priority. I feel like they're going to start lifting discoverability up, right? So you can get some of that TikTok style engagement. So Stacey, I know you use a lot of these features.
Yeah. I'm going to start with Reels. I know it's a little bit out of order, but I just love these. It's like using TikTok, but on Instagram, obviously. You can tell a short story. You can do a quick FAQ video. There's so many different ways that you can visually tell a story using Reels. And like you mentioned, Dan, Instagram is really using this as a preference in terms of giving you reach on a post. So if you're looking to, you know, get those impressions and your reach up, then you really want to consider using Reels right now. They're super hot.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And it goes without saying that new features are always given priority. So use those new features, jump on them right away when you can. The other thing about Reels that's kind of handy, if you've not been paying attention to them, they've got several editing tools and adding additional features right in there. So if you're not a video editor or you don't have those resources, you can certainly use the app itself to do a lot of content creation. It just takes a little bit of practice, and then you'll have an arsenal of tools at your fingertips there.
Yeah, like this is a quick little tip I'll give everyone. One quick way to add captions to your Reels, because they don't have the caption button option yet on Reels, is to actually put your piece of video content into Stories, hit captions. Mm-hmm. It'll generate the captions for you. Download each of those 15-second segments, upload them into Reels in order, and you've got a caption video, and you did it all on your phone.
Yeah, that's a great tip. That's an awesome tip. One last one here on utilizing features in feed video. So I know IGTV is there. I don't know how much longer it's going to be there. I'm sure it works for some creators with large numbers, but by and large, I don't think it's been a roaring success from our perspective. As soon as you go into Reels, as soon as they would be prompted to go to IGTV, you lose that viewer typically, taking them out of the feed. So try to keep your video between 50 and 55 seconds. If you go higher than that, sometimes Instagram will slap you on the wrist for trying to do that, or send it to IGTV. Keep that in-feed video in that feed. You'll get better performance on that.
100%. Yeah, and the same with Reels. You can add crop your feature image to be in your actual feed, and that's another great way to get more eyes on it.
Yeah, don't forget to set the thumbnail image on your Instagram in-feed video, or else you will have either something that's just black or probably a randomly assigned thumbnail, which is never a good thing.
Stacey going like,
That's not aesthetic. So
yes, that's right.
Exactly. Stacey will come after you.
There you go. All right. Uploading and editing. I think this goes without saying. Photos are best at 1:1 on Insta. Reels and Stories are 9:16. So the long format that everybody is familiar with. Okay, yeah. So here's go ahead, Stace.
I was just gonna say when you're doing Reels, though, they are different than Stories. A lot of people use these like templated formats for their stories using apps like Layer. I wouldn't recommend doing that for Reels. Reels is more like a TikTok where you actually show like a full video clip, and people don't really respond to overbranding or using templates. Leave that for Stories. That's how they kind of differ in terms of editing for the two formats.
Yeah. And in general, we'll just kind of go here. I was going to say something, but I'm going to save it for a little bit later because we are running low on time. I think we're actually over a little bit. Yeah, we're 5 minutes over. This is a really super important one. The prediction that Instagram is going to become a visual Amazon is quickly approaching. I've been calling this for 2 years. They've been adding those features over and over again. Instagram shopping is going to be a major feature. And the reason why, it's a very simple reason why. Facebook has ultimately they are ad revenue driven, right? And they need to diversify their revenue streams, and shopping is going to be one way to do it. And they want to go after Amazon and hard. Right. So this is going to be something. It's an opportunity. Also, Shopify has struck a deal with Instagram for native integrations. It's a big part of Shopify's future, which is basically a cartless checkout, not cartless checkout, but checkout anywhere. Right. So you don't have to leave the platform that you're on. You always stay on the platform. So get your shopping set up, get your shopping bag and tag set up. I think this is an important part about the content side. Don't try to be overly, I mean, you could be overly branded, but don't treat this like a broadcast platform, right? Where you're just blasting out specials and specials and specials. Native content is your friend. TikTok has proven that native content is your friend. And TikTok has really brought to light the value of that content. Boom. Okay.
Mic drop. You have that sound effect?
I don't. What? I don't, but I have that. All right. How far are we in here? Let's just have a look here.
How many
I was passionate.
Ah, we're almost there. Almost there. All right. Oh.
Okay, let me breeze through Instagram stories. This is my favorite. I really love it. I think we at Honeypot do a good job with our stories as well. So you can post behind the you can post behind the scenes. We post tips and tutorials. We ask our audience questions, allow them to ask you questions as well. You can post polls, this or that slides. So this is my favorite way to really engage with your audience. Yeah, I just think if you have fun with your stories, that's when the public is really gonna enjoy your stories the most, when they're kind of fun and interactive.
Yeah, and you wanna you wanna keep your content styles, like vary them for each one of these, whether mm-hmm. it's stories or whether it's posts or guides, reels, right there, IGTV and all those as well that you can see on our feed here.
Yeah, and put them into the Instagram story highlights as well, because by default, they delete after 24 hours. So if it's helpful information, just plug it in at the top of your profile and users can go back whenever they want.
I like stories to highlight user-generated content. So if you have a specialized hashtag that you're using and users tag you in photos, you can then share that tagged photo into your stories, and it kind of gives your users that 15 minutes of fame type of thing where yeah. they're like, oh, that brand actually shared my photo, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just a great way to kind of build up excitement for your brand too.
Mm-hmm. And I think it goes without saying from a strategic perspective, and again, it's really kind of unfortunate to see, but we do see it a lot, is businesses are using Instagram as a broadcast medium, and it is not a broadcast medium. It is a community, right? So all of those things about engagement and content styles, it's a two-way street. Right. And the best, like Chipotle, actually, that's on the screen, they actually do an awesome job. They have great community management and it really positively affects their business across the board. Okay. Oops. All right. Last but definitely, probably most importantly, Dan Duran is saying, love the sound effects. All right. Oops, that was the wrong one. I'll get better at this. Promise. I'm going to get better at this. I just had this idea literally 30 seconds before we went live. So I fired up. The app is called Voice Mod. You can download it for free, but there is a paid version. It has a voice lab, a voice changer, and then a soundboard. That is the only way to get other sound effects into StreamYard at the moment. So, all right. Here we go. How does Dan's got a question here? How does TikTok fare with Instagram in terms of community rather than broadcast? I mean, it's kind of like two gods in the sky hurling thunderbolts at each other right at this very moment. I don't know the exact numbers, but TikTok is quickly approaching the size of Insta. I think it rivals it in several ways, that the discoverability, organic discoverability on TikTok is just amped up to 1,000%. It is a great way to build a community. I think that there is a hardcore set of Instagram users as well, though. And I feel like what's happening has come in is that TikTok has disrupted Instagram. Like, I think they forced Facebook to change all of their plans around Instagram in the last year. Mm-hmm. I think what the hope is, or what I would like to see, is just, again, better discoverability, where like you can go trending viral on the For You page, like you did with Rob Nash, Stacey, through telling a joke, right? A funny joke.
Yeah.
And that massively exploded his community, just one post. What's been happening with Instagram is, in a sense, kind of not a slow death. That's probably too much, but the ability for you used to be able to do it, right? You used to be able to kind of get that on the Discover page, and then you would blow up, and then you would increase your follower count, right?
Yeah.
So I feel like TikTok kind of kicked Zuckerberg in the butt and said, hey, you're not the only kid on the block, right? And now they're trying to do it. So I'm waiting for the organics to organic algorithms to loosen up a bit versus, you know, the suppression of all that content.
100%, because we shared a similar piece of content on Rob Nash's Instagram, and it did okay, but not to the extent of TikTok by any stretch.
Yeah.
So we have a Dan, we have a strategy that we've shared several times, that you create audiences in Facebook Business Manager. Make sure your Instagram account is attached to it. Use a meme or a joke, something that would really connect with your audience. And then what I would then say is put a $50 boost toward it with the goal of, well, on Instagram, not sharing, with engagement. So comments and likes. That's going to hopefully trigger the organic algorithm. And once you do that, you can get crazy good results. So
crazy good.
You are welcome, Dan. Great name. Right now. Wait till I have time to get more sound effects too.
Oh, great.
I'm gonna have to get this app.
There's a lot. There's one called,
I think it's called Cloudfish, I'm not sure. So collaborations and partnerships. Oh boy, here we go.
I'm so happy for Dan. He's just so happy.
Dan, we'll throw up a link, or you can drop us a note somewhere in the comments with that that little strategy. It works really well. We do it all the time, and it's really inducing virality with good content. And you'll grow your audiences, and your audience manager be able to create lookalikes that are targeted. The beauty of that is simply that what it will do is you're really creating understanding your customer. Right. So I did one with moms between 25 and 35 that were pregnant or new mothers. And then the grandmothers from 55 to 70, those two groups share like crazy with each other. And it was just a meme about moms at home and moms in public. And it got, what was it? 1.7 million reactions to almost a million shares, and exploded the page's growth by like three times, up to crazy numbers. So
we need like an Austin Powers, like 1 million.
All right, so we're way over, but it's a good one today. So collaborations and partnerships. This is the single most important key to your growth on Instagram. Okay, now here's the strategy for your business or for your personal account. What you want to do are find businesses, other people around the same size as you in aligned businesses, right? I mean, I would be so bold as to say, why not even do something with one of your competitors? But hey, maybe that's too much. But regardless, so if you've got a tea company, you might find a bakery, right? Yeah. To align with. And you want, exactly. You want to, because you can use the Venn diagram of your audience and their audience to grow your audience. And because they're aligned businesses, similar businesses, or similar brands, there should be a correlation to a certain percentage of their audience applying to yours, right? And this should be a consistent effort that you do. Invite people to do Instagram takeovers. So in our case, we have had people take over. I believe we had Jacob Fernandez from Vidyard take over our Instagram. And it's a really effective way to get the eyes of a lot of new users onto your Instagram and into your community. So again, you can build that audience of highly engaged people. The last thing I want to talk about just on this part is don't just go after a massive number. So if you've got, like I said, a bakery in Waterloo region, okay, should you have 1.2 million followers? I mean, maybe if you sell online, but realistically, what's your addressable audience if you're not necessarily selling online as a major part of your efforts, right? So the important thing to remember here is that what you do want to do is have realistic expectations of your audience and focus on engagement metrics first, And don't worry about that massive number. Care about how many of those people are actually engaging with you.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Don't go after a Kardashian.
No.
Yeah.
Not if you're a little bake shop in Waterloo.
Yeah, exactly. All right. There we go.
Oh, what was that one?
I thought that was Stacy.
Hey, guys. We've come to the end of another episode of Live at the Hive Digital Marketing from the Trenches. It is a beautiful weekend. It's one of the last. Okay, next week, just everybody, just a gut check. Last week is the last full week of August.
Cool.
That's sad.
Don't feign sadness, Stacy. We know that you want winter
to be
here.
I like the fall. I like cold. And I like snow.
Oh, no.
Come on, get a nice woolly sweater.
Dan Duran, thank you so much for joining us, and thanks so much for commenting. We love when new friends pop in and interact with us. So hopefully we'll see you next week, and and hopefully, we've got a back catalog of 191 other episodes, not nearing the amazing production quality of today's show, but, you know. All right, everybody. Well, thanks so much. We'll see you next week. Same B time, same B channel. Peace. Have a great weekend.
Bye.